if we'd open our Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, and we'll read from verse 40 for our text. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. You know, the scripture speaks here of expectations, and before we go to prayer, I'd just like to say the people were glad to see him because they were expecting him. And Brother Branham said, from God in simplicity, he said, when a minister walks into a congregation of people praying in the anointing of the Spirit, you're bound to hear from heaven. That's just all. There's no way to keep from it. But if you walk into confusion, then you're so confused and the Spirit's grieved. So let's remain standing as we go to our Father this morning in prayer and be expecting to hear from him this morning. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear Father, it is my prayer this morning that your people have come expecting to hear from you. Now, if they've come to hear something from me, then they may go away disappointed. But Father, if they come expecting to hear from you, then I believe that they will receive what they came for. And you won't let them down. For if they have come this morning all prayed up as your prophet taught us, then they're bound to hear from heaven. And their expectations will be rewarded openly because we get what we expect. As your prophet taught us, the right mental attitude toward any divine promise of God will bring it to pass. And we have come believing and ready to receive this morning, Lord. Grant to us a refreshing from your presence this morning, O God. In the wonderful name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, since this is the Sunday before Christmas, I would like to speak on a Christmas subject this morning. You know, many a child will lay awake tonight, or perhaps tomorrow night for the entire night, waiting to arise early on Christmas morning to see what awaits them in terms of Christmas gifts, and whether it be new toys or new clothing, it doesn't really matter. The excitement is not what the gift is, but the expectation of receiving something new, something that they wanted. It's the expectation that brings the excitement. If we truly believe that we're going to receive something positive, then we can hardly wait, and the waiting builds up within us an excitement that brings with it energies that we don't normally have. So the excitement comes because we're looking forward to something new. But I also remember a few long days, very long days, when I had done something bad, and my mother would say, "You just wait until your father gets home." She wasn't the type of mother who would ground us to the house or to the yard. That was what my father would do. My mother would ground us away from the yard. She'd say, "Don't come home until your father gets home, and then you're going to get it." Well, I can remember some very long days hiding in the woods or out in the field, knowing when Dad got home I was in for it. So the first time, and the worst times of waiting was when he was out of town on a business trip, and I had to wait several days knowing that when he got home I was going to get whipped. There wasn't any joy in those waiting moments, but there was no excitement about Dad coming home at those times either. It was sheer terror thinking about the consequences that lay before me. And so to make a point, our joy and anticipation comes from looking forward to those things which are rewarding. But if we do not believe, we will not receive anything. And if we don't believe, if we only believe that what we receive is good, then we do not get excited. If we don't believe that what we're going to receive is good, you know, all things working together for our good, then we're not going to get too excited, and we don't really look forward to that time. So was it with the first coming of Christ, the Son of God. And so it is today at his great appearing. People are actually putting it off to the future. I remember talking to a very, very good Baptist person, and he said, "Well, I just wish the Lord would come just any time now, any day now." He said, "I could stand for him to wait a while." And I thought, well, see, that was the wrong thing to say, you know, because you may have to wait a long, long time. In Luke chapter 1, and if you open your Bibles with me, Luke chapter 1, we're going to read from verse 1 to 18, the Christmas story. And I want you to notice while we're reading this story that it has to deal with the expectation and the and how that God has all things under control. Verse 1, "For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they received them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. There was in the days of Herod the king of Judea a certain priest named Zacharias, of the course of Abiah, and his wife was the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And they had no children, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years." Notice the scripture says, "And they were both barren." They were both rightly wise. They were both rightly wise, or righteous. The word righteous comes from the Greek word dikaios, and it means, it speaks of him whose way of thinking, his way of feeling, his acting is wholly conformed to the will of God, and who therefore needs no rectification in the heart of or life, only Christ truly. It also means approved or acceptable of God. And notice, so they were both righteous before God. They were both rightly wise. They both had lives that were impeccable in the presence of God. Walking, notice they had ordered their life or conducted their life in such a way in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, and they were blameless. Now this couple had made a conscious effort to walk and to talk and to live a life that honored and placed God's word and his commandments above everything else in life, giving God the preeminence. They had made God's word and ordinances the highest goal and the aspiration of their life. I like what Brother Branham said about this couple. From his sermon, Resurrection of Lazarus, he said, "Before God does anything here on earth, I want you to catch this close. Before God does anything on earth, he always sends a witness from heaven to declare it. Now, before Jesus was born, why, God sent a witness of his day of this. Signs and wonders begin to appear of his coming, just as it's appearing today by witnesses of his second coming." Again, see, signs and wonders. There's never been an age through all the church ages that's ever produced what this age is producing right now, for it's the coming of the Lord is drawing near. Don't you believe it? Drawing nigh, rather. And we're nearing the time of the close of this world's history when Jesus shall come. And notice, signs begin to appear. There was a man by the name of Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth. They were righteous. They were holy people, keeping the commandments of God and walking in all the statutes and ordinances of God. They were blameless. That's the kind of a home we need today. Don't you believe it? Instead of that, in the church today, we have everything else but holiness and righteousness. But they were righteous people, godly people, walking in the commandments of the Lord, keeping all the ordinances blameless. Zacharias was a priest of the temple, and his office was to burn incense while prayer was being made. And one day while he was in the temple burning incense, Gabriel, an angel from God, came down and stood by the altar of incense. And he said, "Zacharias, fear not, your prayer is heard." Oh, I love that. His wife was barren. She hadn't had any children. She was past the age of bearing, but he lived right before God, and he believed on God. And all of his great, dark, long hours of worry, finally the angel came and said, "God has heard your prayer. Now, if you want God to hear your prayer, send an angel to your home, then live right, do right, treat everybody right, be right before God, and God will grant that to you." You can't expect God to be answering your prayer when you're negative, or when you gripe and you complain and you're fussing and stewing. He's not obligated to that. Brother Bram said, you live right, you talk right, you respect others, you treat everybody right. He said, then God will hear your prayer. We could close our sermon right there on that point and go away and be blessed. But listen to what he's saying here. Now remember, this is a vindicated prophet of God saying this, so we should take it to heart. Now, if you want God to hear your prayer, how many of us have prayers that we would like God to answer? All right, here's the formula. If you want God to hear your prayer and send an angel to your home, then live right. Okay? Do right. All right? And treat everybody right. Be right before God, and God will grant that to you. And so Zacharias met an angel from the Lord, and his name was Gabriel. And he told Zechariah all that would take place concerning he and his wife, and how they would have a child, and this child would go before and prepare the way of the Son of God to come. And so what did Zechariah do? He finished out his duties and then went home to his wife, and he prepared for that little one to come. Now, how do you think he prepared for that little one to come? Well, Luke 1, verse 21 to 24 says, "And the people waited for Zechariah, and they marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he had beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of the visitation were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days his wife Elizabeth conceived, and hid herself 5 months, saying." In other words, expectations. Could you imagine what went on in the mind of Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth? Here they were very old and well stricken in age. That's what the scripture tells us. And yet the first thing we hear from God's word is that he could hardly wait to finish his job. And then like a bee to the hive, he went straight home to his wife with the good news. And what news it must have been to her. She didn't see the angel. She didn't get a visitation from God. Now I can just imagine she must have been thinking, here's my husband, he's been away for 2 weeks and he comes home with this story about having a baby. A promise from an angel of all things. And of course, how do we have babies? My mother used to say every time my dad went on a long trip, 9 months later one of the kids would come along. A promise from an angel of all things. And you know, there's got to be a preparation made. She must have thought, I know what must be going on in his mind. After all, it's been lonely up there at that temple and all. But really, Zacharias, you don't have to tell me an angel told you to do this. I mean, after all, I still do love you as my husband. And all you have to do is ask and I'm yours. But an angel? And yet, babies don't come by spontaneous combustion. Nor do they come by talking about them, nor by wishful thinking. There's something the husband and wife must do in order for that child to come. There's a preparation that has to be made. And to know that God is watching your every action, it would kind of make you uncomfortable, if you know what I mean. But notice what the scripture tells us. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministry were accomplished, he departed to his house, to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months. Now notice that the Lord knew the exact time of conception. In verse 26 to 80, let's read. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God under the city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and she cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing that I know not any man? Now Mary's question was not of unbelief, but rather she just wanted to know how this thing would take place, because after all, she had never known a man. She wanted more details. Her question was not like Zechariah's question, because his question came from doubt. And for that doubt, he was smitten dumb for a period of time until John was born. But Mary's question had to do with desiring a better understanding of what was going on. She wanted to know how it was going to take place. And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Now the word overshadow actually means to actually engulf in a light. It's interesting. If you look it up, it's like the light would actually radiate all around thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. So God knew exactly when that child was conceived. So of course we see that God knew exactly when that baby was conceived. So don't you think that God does not see what takes place in our bedrooms. And it's just an admonition for husbands and wives that just keep everything clean before the Lord. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her, and Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her of the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me a great thing, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats, and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent away. He hath sent empty away. He hath hope in his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months, and returned to her own house. Now Elizabeth full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, Not so, but he shall be called John. And they said unto her, There is none of thy kindred that is called by this name. And they made signs to his father how he would have called him. And he asked for a writing table, and wrote, saying, His name is John. And they marveled all, and his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. And fear came on all that dwelt round about them, and all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill of Judea. And all that, and all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, What manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the land, from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the desert till the day of his showing unto Israel. So we see the atmosphere of expectation upon Mary, and also upon Elizabeth, her cousin. And when you expect something, you prepare for that thing which you're expecting to happen. And expectations will produce what you are looking for. And it works both ways. If your expectations are positive, then you will receive that thing that you're expecting. Now, if your expectations are negative, then don't be surprised if things don't go the way that you'd like them to go, because they will certainly go the way that you expect them to go. I'm going to say that one more time. If your expectations are negative, then don't be surprised if they don't go the way that you would like them to go, because they will certainly go the way you expect them to go. And if you're negative, you're going to get negative expectations. That is why I keep telling you all the time, don't look at the negative, look only at the positive. Only at the positive. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are pure, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, even if there's just one little thing you can praise, praise. Think on those things. Now, from the message, Expectation and What is Love, Brother Branham said, Now, I want each of you, or each of us now, in our hearts, to dwell on this thought of expectations. Whatever you expect is usually what you will get. You heard about the lady that prayed for the mountain to be moved and got up the next morning and looked out the window and said, just as I expected, there still. Still there. Well, that's the reason. She expected it to be there. That's right. Now, you want to have an expectation all the way from your heart, your soul, your body, and mind that God is going to give us a great outpouring of the Holy Ghost. How I feel it, that is near us. And God is willing and He's ready to give it to us. So, you know, part of expectation is to prepare for the thing that you're expecting. And if you don't really expect it, then you won't prepare for it either. That is what the Scripture plainly tells us, and that is what Jesus said that we should do. Remember, Brother Branham said, Abraham went around and said, better get the booty ready. Better get the little pins and the diapers and the pins and stuff ready. We're going to have a baby. And he said he went around for 25 years telling his wife, get those things ready, get those things ready, get those things ready. And you know what happened? God changed him back. And God gave him that baby. You confess it. Don't just say, oh God, I hope. Oh Lord, I just hope this thing happens. I just hope it works out. Oh God. That's your biggest enemy. You're not expecting it. God, I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to save my pennies so that when this thing happens, I'll have a little extra money so I can, have a whatever. Just have a thing work out. Yeah. In Matthew 24, verse 42 to 51, we read, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready. For in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over all his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find him so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. So you see, be prepared for what you expect to happen. That is what the revelation is all about. It gives us understanding, and then our expectation takes over, and it begins to make preparation for what we are expecting. Notice verse 48. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, well then what's his expectation? He's expecting more time to live like the world, but watch what his lack of preparation has in store for him. And he shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now you can smite a person with more than just a hand or a fist. You can smite them with words. You can say words that just cut, words that destroy. Why? Because he did not expect the Lord to come. So he lived like he didn't expect the Lord to come. And it's your expectations that produces your results. If you expect him to be here, you will conduct yourself as though you're expecting him. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13:13, and now abideth faith, hope, and love, these three, and the greatest of these is love. So you see, it all begins with faith, which Brother Branham taught us as revelation. Faith is something that's been revealed to you, and then if it's a true revelation, then it moves from there into hope, which is an earnest expectation. And you earnestly expect what has been revealed to you. Now you see, if it's not revealed, but has actually already manifested itself, then it's not something that you hope for, because you already have seen it. For hope is something that has not yet become materialized. In Romans 8:24, Paul says, for we are saved by hope. Now, what is Paul saying here? He's saying that we are saved by an earnest expectation. But hope that is seen is not yet hope. For what a man seeth, why would he yet hope for it? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. So you see, if you're hoping, if you're earnestly expecting, and you can only be earnestly expecting, you can only be hoping, you can only be expecting and if it's not there visible yet. Now, if you have a promise from God, which I believe we all have certain promises we're waiting on God to fulfill in our lives. Michael, you're waiting for Paul's salvation. You just keep expecting that. Don't ever look at the circumstances. Don't ever look at the negative side of things. Don't ever let the devil show you the negative things. You just keep looking to what God's promise says. Apply the token and it'll happen. So you see, if you truly are hoping for that, which has not yet been manifested itself to you, then you will have patience to wait for it if it has truly been revealed to you. Now, if you earnestly expect it, then that creates an atmosphere that moves into preparation for that which has been realized in order for it to materialize. And hope then moves into love, which is always characterized by in Scripture by giving, for God so loved the world that He gave. Now, love creates an atmosphere, a welcoming atmosphere, an atmosphere that you just love to be around. And that atmosphere is creative and it generates energy. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and your labor of love and your patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. The Weiss translation puts it this way, remembering unceasingly your work, which is produced and characterized by the faith which is yours, and your toil, which is motivated and characterized by your divine and self-sacrificial love, and your patient endurance under trials, which finds its source in your hope, which rests in our Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of God, even the Father. So you see, your hope or earnest expectation builds up an energy, and it produces an atmosphere of expectation that results in a preparation for the things expected to happen. From the message Expectation, Brother Branham said, I've asked that God will bless you all, and I want to speak just a moment, and then we'll start praying for the sick. Now, first we want to think tonight on this text. If I would call it a text just for a moment, and I would like to use these words in it, expectations. As I mentioned here the other night, you usually get what you expect, don't you? If you come tonight to the meeting just expecting to see something that you could criticize the meeting about, the devil will show you plenty of it. You'll go back with a lot of criticism just like you expected. But if you come tonight expecting, just say, Lord, I come to see you. I come for the benefit to be healed. I come for the benefit of my soul. Well, I expect you to give it to me because I'm here in this place that's dedicated to your glory, and you'll get what you just expect. That's right, you always, and you can never go above your expectation. Can we all say that together? You can never go above. You can never go above your expectation. So if your expectation's here, that's where you're going to go. What a statement that is. Just think of that. How many people win the gold medal thinking they can't do it? You know of any, Steve? How many people achieve thinking they can't achieve? I've never heard of any. No way. You don't think that you can, and it's a cinch that you won't. Your negative thoughts have more power over your life than you think, and so do your positive expectations. Brother Branham continues, and you can never go above your expectations. You'll always have to do that. And when a man's born of the Spirit of God, filled with the Holy Ghost, everything he has need of in this life's journey is in him right then. Yeah. And the only thing he has to do is just drink from the inexhaustible fountain of life, which is Christ Jesus, until he pushes out divine healing, the powers of God. He just pushes it out by his drinking from the everlasting, inexhaustible fountain of life, Jesus Christ. Amen. Then what about those poor people in Africa and Asia and third world countries around the world? Well, David said in Psalm 37, verse 25, I have been young and now am old. Yet have I not seen the Lord's righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. So if God was speaking through David, as we believe he was, then I see a problem with people who are hungry and feel they have to beg for bread. There's something wrong somewhere. I have heard stories all my Christian life of people who needed food and prayed that food right under their tables. One of the biggest problems I see in Uganda is that in the eastern part of that country where the ministry is young and they're very inexperienced and green, they are afraid to preach on what God's promise concerning tithes and offerings. And because they fail to teach the people end up begging for food, and so do the ministry there. And that ought not to be. And when you will not take God at His word, then you might as well call God a liar to his face. And it shows you do not expect to receive what he promised. Again, Brother Branham said from his sermon Expectations, he said, and what love is, he said, now, if you expect, that's what you receive. If you come to a meeting saying, well, I'm going down, I'm going to find some flaws of that meeting, I'll find some flaws of that preacher, I'll bet you can. Don't worry, you'll get it. The devil will show you plenty of them. Yes, sir, you'll go back and say, just as I expected. That's just the way it was. Same group found fault with Jesus when he went down to the pool of Bethesda and all those crippled laying there, lame, halt, blind, withered. Passed by every one of them, never healed any of them. Went over and healed a man laying on a pallet and walked away. Them Jews, Now, if he's the healer, let him heal them, see? Just as you expect, that's what you get. But you come to the meeting expecting to see the glory of God moving, the power of God, sinners being saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, sickness being healed. Then watch what God shows you. Yes, sir. See, you are a creator in yourself. How many is born again? Say amen. Do you know each one of you is a creator? You are a part of God. You're a son of God or an offspring of God, a daughter of God. Is that right? Then you are a creator. Now, did you ever see people there? They were very nice people. I ain't saying this for any back now. Nice people, but you just could hardly stand to be around them. You know that. Nice people. It's their atmosphere they're in. Then you've seen other people that you just long to be with them. Is that right? It's an atmosphere that's around them all the time. Now, my wife's sitting back there. She don't know this, but she's supposed to be here somewhere, and you can imagine in her home about what takes place in the run of a day. People coming, going like that, and I go in sometimes, and poor little fellow in there in the kitchen crying, not even a chance to cook the children anything to eat through the day, and there it is, and the little girl about 2 years old, little Sarah and Rebecca, and they're in there crying and going on, and my wife crying, and she'd look up and she'd say, and Bill, I'm just about ready to go crazy. I just don't know what I'm going to do. She said, and gray-haired at 34 years old. And so I said, well, now, that's right, honey. But don't fuss at her. See? No, that's right, honey. See? It's very bad, but you see, we're serving the Lord. So we see, what I'm trying to do all the time in my heart, I'm trying to create a different atmosphere. They're all nervous and they're tore up, see? Now, I was thinking in my heart, oh, Lord, now send your presence and your love to my poor little tore up wife. And I say, yes, dear, that's right. What was this? What was this here? Oh, we haven't had anything to eat. And I say, well, there probably won't be anybody else in for the next few hours, so let's just get something to eat. And I'll help you. And I'd start roll up my sleeves. And she said, now, look here, young man, you might be able to wash dishes, but you can't cook. And I'll say, oh, who can't cook? Like, you know, just going on. And, well, you haven't seen me fry potatoes yet. I was raised in them, something like that. And I'll see a little bitty smile trickle in on one side, you know, and the first thing you know, I come over and I put my hand on her, and she don't know what I'm doing, and I say, bless your heart, honey, I'll tell you, and I'll help you do this, and then down in my heart, I'm saying, Lord, send your peace that's in me into her now. Oh, God, quieten in my family now. I'm your servant, Father, and send it, and the first thing you know, she'd say, Billy, you know a certain thing, them little old black eyes are snapping again, and I look. And the baby, she's in there and got her blocks, and the babies are playing together. What is it? It's creating an atmosphere. Hallelujah. Brother, let me tell you, you brothers, the atmosphere is what does it. It's exactly right. Look, it's not the hen that hatches the egg. It's the atmosphere. Yes, sir. Is that right? You put the same egg under a pup. You put the same egg under a pup, And it'd hatch the chicken just the same. Put it in an incubator, it'll bring the chicken just the same. It's the atmosphere. Hallelujah. What we need is a Holy Ghost atmosphere, that's right. An atmosphere where the power of God is moving. One accord, one place, gathered together under that atmosphere of expecting God to move down and do signs and wonders. Amen. Let's move ourselves up into that bracket. Step up in faith. Move out of these three dimensions up into that one, in that next one. Yes, sir. Say, Lord, I'm just believe that you're going to pour your blessing. I'm expecting it now. All things are moving right in, and I'm expecting to see the exceedingly abundantly now. I'm expecting it. And when you come down and say, well, I don't know about it, well, you see, you hurt the other person. Now you're sitting by one of them and say, oh Lord, just tear him down now. I'm expecting great things, see, and that expectancy will get the unity among the people. That's what happened in the day of Pentecost. That's what brought the Holy Ghost in the first place. They went up there and stayed there 10 days and nights, and they were all in one place and with one accord, blessing God for something that they did not have. Is that right? They were thanking God for the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost had not come yet, but they had it in the seed form. Like if I'd say, wonder if an acorn tree would grow down here, and you say, well, I guess it would, and I give you an acorn. I say, I'll give you an acorn tree, and you say, all right, Brother Branham, we'll try it. See if the acorn will grow down there in the backyard, and I give you, and you say, I'm going to put it in the right kind of soil, and just like you have up north, and I'm going to see if it'll grow, all right? Now, if you put this acorn, and I give you, and you say, well, Brother Branham, you said you'd give me an acorn tree. And I said, I did. Well, how you just give me an acorn. See, you've got the tree already. It's in the seed form. Is that right? You've got the tree already. It's in the seed form. Well, brother, sister, if we've got the promises of God, we've got it done. God saw the Bible says that the Lamb was slain before the foundations of the world, and Brother Branham said that was just as positive, that was just as real to God in his mind as it was when it took place. So we've got to enter into a frame of mind where we accept the word of God. If God says something, we must accept his word and apply that word and with a positive expectation, you see. And that's the way we've got to get it, in the seed form. All in one accord, one place. They was blessing God for the Holy Ghost, which had never come yet. But they believed that it was because God was going to keep his promise. And when they kept blessing God until that atmosphere got just right, then there come a sound from heaven of like a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. See, the atmosphere got right, and couldn't we get an atmosphere here that every crippled, every blind, every sick person, everything, all with one accord, believing until the sick? And I seen it last week in Wood River, where there wasn't a person left. They just piled up the crutches and wheelchairs and cots, and I was standing on the platform preaching like this, and they just begin to raise up, throw them to the corners. The atmosphere got right. Oh, brother, God sent us an atmosphere like that that'll make it of one accord, of one place. Let the power of God surge down through. That atmosphere gets right. It opens up moves back every clog, everything. The law of God will move. Here not long ago, we had a man, for instance, these electric lights. Thomas Edison was the founder of it. The world has been full of electricity since the world began, all around. Well, now, listen. I just want to ask you something now. There was a man. God was fixing to give electricity to the world. I believe when God's program is ready, everything will work right to its place, don't you? Has to foreordain to do so. Now, so Benjamin Franklin, he went fishing with a kite. Lightning run down the string, and he caught it, and he began to run and holler. I got it, I got it, I got it, I got it. He had it, but he didn't know what he had. Well, that's what's the matter with the Pentecostal church. You got it, but you don't know what you got. That's it. Yeah? You've got power enough to open the eyes of the blind and stop the ears of the deaf to do all those things, but you come in with twisted up atmosphere. Let's get it in one accord so the Holy Ghost can pour out the gushers down upon the people. One place, one accord. And along come Thomas Edison. He said, listen, it'll light up. He tried 10,000 wires. He said, he wasn't tireless. He set up with a cup of coffee and a sandwich all night long, and he'd try this one, and if the electric wouldn't follow that wire, he'd lay it aside and get him another one. He'd try that until finally he found it, and he gave the world electricity. Now, for instance, if you was up here back behind some of these great big dark mountains tonight, and it was so black down there till you couldn't see where you was going, and you might fall over on a rock or step on a snake and you didn't know what was going to happen, or one of these big Gila monsters or something laying up there, and you know electricity's all around us, you could scream till you got hoarse, oh, electricity, electricity, light up, show me how to get out of here, and I know you're here, I know you're here, electricity, it's scientifically proven that you're here, I know you're here, so you light up. You could scream till you got hoarse, and it'll never light up. Why? Electricity will light up if you follow the law of electricity. But you've got to follow the laws of electricity. If you had a fountain over on this side, an artesian well gushing up, and a crop over on the other side, burning up, now you can say, oh, water, go over here and irrigate my crop. It wouldn't do it. No, but if you follow the laws of gravity, you can make it do it. Is that right? Well, now look, God is here this afternoon. Now, we got to follow the laws of God. The law of God is of one accord. Love one for the other. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God. Believeth, hopeth all things. Trusteth all things to do with all. Oh my. There you are, one accord, everybody under expectation that God's going to pour down His power. Now listen, you know it's here. Scientifically, you know it's here. Looky here. How could Mrs. Waldorf be sitting here after dying with cancer? How many across the world of thousands times thousands of cases? How could you, a drunkard a few weeks ago or a few months ago, and a gentleman this afternoon? How could you, a street harlot a few weeks ago, a lady this afternoon? By the transforming power of God being transmitted by the Holy Ghost into your heart, change your nature and change your making. It made you another person, that's right. You might not have felt, I don't know about that, but it's here anyhow. Whether you feel it or not, let's give God thanks for it. For it's here anyhow. I can prove to you right now there's radio coming right through you. Radio. You don't feel it. You don't. But you know it's there. There's television pictures coming right through you now. But you don't feel it. But it's there anyhow. Oh my. Now, if our body was magnetized to that, like that big word says, yes, stretched out from the window to this window, it's sweeping through this building. Yes, going right through you. Somebody saying yes on the radio. Well, it's coming right through you as it goes through them power lines and so forth, and it goes through your body. Now, when it hits against that crystal in the set, it just catches like that, and you hear the sound of yes. Now, if God up there said, by His stripes you were healed, and the Holy Ghost entwines, bring that down by the power of God, your heart is set on that, it says, yes, by His stripes we are healed. God, you said in Mark 11:24, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you'll receive it. Lord, we prayed for a meeting. We've been fasting for a meeting. We've been crying for a meeting. Yes, Lord, I believe the meeting's on the road. Then stand there like, oh, till the power of God comes down. And when it hits, it says, yes. Next man says, yes. Look it, you got double power, yes. Yes, triple power, yes. Four times power, yes. First thing you know, it becomes thousand powers of yes. Then the Holy Spirit moves in and confirms the Word of God with signs and wonders following. That's it. That's what we need, an expectation. It's like we said about the faith. We have the same electricity that's lighting those lights on the side, or the same electricity that's lighting those lights up there, same electricity that's turning that fan, same electricity that's running the heater, same electricity that's coming through this microphone. It's the same electricity, it's just a different operation of the gift of God. And we all have a generator. It's called the Word of God. I believe you all put your generator up and the electricity of God will begin to flow. You've got to be positive about it. You've got to be, don't just get rid of the negative. You say, I've been praying for this to happen, I've been praying for this to happen, I've been praying for this to happen, it's not happening. God must be mad at me. No, He's waiting for you to get positive about it. Well, I am positive. I've been praying. Yeah, it's like the woman that said, well, I just what I expected. It's still there. What are you expecting? Then prepare for it. And it'll take place. Prepare for it. During the time of the birth of Jesus, it was in a day something like this, when the people had wandered away from God. There was not many ways to send messages, radio, telegrams, and so forth, like we got now today in television. The only way they had to send messages in that day was from lip to ear. Quickly, listen to him now. Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea. We're taught in the Bible that wise men saw a star when they was over in the east, followed it all the way to Palestine. Is that right? Well, they had kept time by the stars them days. Every city had an observatory on top of it. They kept the watchman set up there and old time by the stars. And in the daytime, they told time by the sundial. You know, what time is it, watchman, on the tower? And they asked for the time. Now, they kept time, and yet that, and here it is. I want you to get this. That star passed over every one of those cities, and not one of those men saw it. But our Bible declares that it done it. And I believe it did. And we have saw His star in the east and have come to worship Him. Is that right? And they moved, led by this star moving them. And this greatest star of all stars, the greatest of all, moved right by the scientific world and they never saw it. Why? They wasn't expecting it. But there was some wise men who heard Balaam's prophecy that there would be a star of Jacob would rise. And they were expecting it and they were looking for it and they found it and they followed it and they were looking for it. I'm looking for something, aren't you? My soul is stimulated to the highest just before the coming of the Lord Jesus to see something happen that's going to shake the Gentile world before God leaves it. Yes, I'm expecting it in Phoenix. I'm looking for it. I want you to agree with me and expect it. These wise men, they said, someday, my father said, here it is written in the Bible. His father said, there'd be a star of Jacob would rise. When they saw that star, when it appeared, they were looking for it. They saw it. The rest of them didn't even see it. Somebody said, don't you think them people who cry and shout all emotionally worked up? No, sir, they're not. Brother Brown, don't you think it's psychology speaking? No, sir, I do not. They're expecting something. They're expecting manna from heaven to feed their souls. While they're setting under expectations, God is under obligation to give them the manna from heaven. Because they're expecting it. You're expecting a meeting, God's under obligation to give it to you. Now here they come. Then we see the shepherds come out and sing on the hills of Judea. Because they was always singing at the birth of a king. 8 days later we find Jesus going to the temple in his mother's arms, mother packing him. There was an old man up there, an old sage, or we call him a preacher, long beard and hair. And he had a fine reputation among the people, and he was a renowned man. And he had a fine reputation. And one day when he was out, the Holy Ghost said to him, Simeon, you're not going to die until you see the Lord's Christ. And he believed it. And he was expecting it. He went around. He didn't care what the rest of the churches said. He didn't care what all of his prestige. He said, I believe. I'm going to die till I see the Lord's Christ. I can hear some of them say, you know, the old fellow's kind of getting just old just a little bit. You know, and something wrong with him up there. They usually say that, you know. There's something wrong with up here with them people, see. Well, what was the matter? He was expecting God to keep his word. Had a good reason, didn't he? Well, how you know that you're going to see it? David looked for it. Even Adam looked for it. All the way back has looked for it. For thousands of years has passed and there has been no sign of it yet. I don't care what's passed. The Holy Ghost told me I was going to see it and I believe I will. That settles it. That's a good reason, isn't it? You mean you're here 80 years old and 1 foot in the grave? I don't care how old I am. I'm going to see the Lord's Christ before I die. Because the Holy Ghost said so. I'm going right around expecting it. Thank God for His promise because I'm going to see Him. Oh my, there you are. He was expecting to see Christ. How about the old man that was blind? Got in the prayer line. Brother Rand prayed for him. Went out, still couldn't see. Got in the prayer line again. Brother Rand said, what are you doing in the prayer line? He said, you know, that I came in, you prayed for me. He said, Brother Rand said, didn't I say thus saith the Lord, you'll see, you'll have your eyesight? He said, yes. He said, then confess it. So for the next 2 weeks, that man went confessing everywhere. And he's sitting in the barber chair. You know, he was a newspaper man. And he'd be out there and selling, you know, he'd be saying, you know, extra, read all about it. He'd say whatever the thing was today. He says, and a blind man healed. And he said, I've got my sight. And just as blind as could be. But for 2 weeks, he confessed it. Sat there in the barber chair and he was telling the barber all about it. And all of a sudden his eyes opened up. Ran out of that barber chair with his face still lathered up, run down the street, proclaiming what God had done for him. Now, if God did something for you, would you proclaim it? Come on. Why wouldn't you proclaim it? You know, we have the greatest revelation that has ever struck the earth. Like I told the brothers down south, I said, you know, if I'm eating the best ice cream, if I've got the best ice cream, you know, the best ice cream you ever tasted, wouldn't you want other people to taste it too? Huh? These people say, well, the bride says, you know, we only got enough for ourselves. That's hogwash. I don't believe that attitude. I believe if you've got something that's overflowing, you're going to let it overflow. You're going to give to others. He was expecting to see Christ, and he did. I hope this morning that we can see what Brother Brown was talking about. I hope also this morning that if you are a negative person who's always looking for something to go wrong, that you'll just die out to your doubt. As Brother Bosworth would say, If you want to doubt anything, doubt your doubts. Oh, if this Christmas can bring you just one thing, and that is to shed yourself of all your doubts and start quoting the promises of God and start expecting to receive what God has promised for you, you'll have the greatest gift, greatest Christmas you've ever had. Again, from his sermon Expectation, Brother Branham said, you usually get what you expect. You come to criticize the meeting, the devil will show you something to criticize. You come to get a healing, God will see to it that you do. You usually get what you expect, see? Yes, you say, I was expecting this and I was expecting that. What you expect, God will see that you get it. You usually get it. And from leading of the Spirit, Brother Branham said, expectations. If you're expecting it, you will receive it. You usually get what you expect. If you come to the meeting tonight expecting to find something to criticize the meeting, the devil will show it to you. You will see. He will see that you get satisfied. You get what you expect. If you come to get a blessing, God will see that you get it. If you come to get saved, God will see that you get it. If you come to get healed, He's expecting to get healed. Be expecting to get healed. God will see to it that you do. It's what you expect is what you get from Him. And again, from expectations, he said, we always get what we expect. When people expect anything, well, then they usually get what they look for. It's the mental attitude that you have. Remember this and never forget it. The right mental attitude toward any promise of God will bring it to pass. The right mental attitude towards any promise of God. It doesn't take gifts of healing to heal sick people. Any person in here that has a right to meet Satan anywhere, if you're a Christian, and defeat him on any grounds that he could stand on. And in closing, from his sermon, God Revealing Himself to His People, Brother Branham said, the right mental attitude towards any promise of God will bring it to pass. Do you believe that? The word is a seed. Is that right? That a sower sowed in the ground. And every seed will bring forth of its kind. If you need salvation, the seed's here. If you need healing, here's the seed in the Word. The Word of God is a seed. Put it in your heart. Don't dig it up every morning to see if it's sprouted. Put it in there and leave it there. It's God's business to bring forth the harvest. You just leave it there. Water it by faith and prayer every day, thanking God for it. All right. Let's bow our heads in prayer. The gracious Father, when we have a promise which we believe in our heart that you've given us, then instead of being critical because it's not happening today, may we be thanking you, Lord, because it's on its road. That, Lord, needs to be our approach to life. We need to be more thankful. We need to be thanking Thee, Father, because it's on its road. We realize, Lord, that Simeon went testifying. He said, I'm going to see the Lord Christ. I'm going to see the Lord Christ. I'm going to see the Lord Christ. I said, why? He said, because I was told by the Holy Ghost that I'm going to see the Lord Christ. I'm going to get a body change. I'm going to get a body change. I'm going to get a body change. Why? Because I have thus saith the Lord, the bride has heard the shout, and she's going to be part of the voice, and she's going to be part of the trump. He said, I no longer call you church, I call you bride, and I am bride. I am bride, I am bride. And I'm going to get a body change. I'm going to get out of here. So, Father, we just commit ourselves, Lord, to Thee. We pray that this Christmas our expectations would be in Thee, that we would look upon Your promises, Father, and recite them in our minds, recite them in our mouths, and out of the abundance of the heart may the mouth speak, O God. And may our expectation, Father, have flesh, have materialized before us. May it become the Word of God with flesh on it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him.